Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my pleasure to introduce to you the four personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We have Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, Paul Merton, and Clement Freud, and will you please welcome all four of them? The creator of the game, Ian Messiter, usually sits beside me, but unfortunately he can't be with us this week. So once again, I'm fortunate in having with me the lovely Anne Ling, who will keep the score, and she will blow the whistle when the full 60 seconds are up. And once more, I'm going to ask our four panelists to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. Let us begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. Derek, the subject, graffiti. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Graffiti comes from the Latin word to scratch, graffito, and was first used when the ruins in Pompeii, and indeed Rome, and later Herculaneum were discovered. And they discovered upon the walls the most filthy, scratched bits of paper, all kinds of vulgarities, ruderies, mostly obscene and sexual. I don't really think it's the sort of thing we ought to be talking about here, but you will.
Clement Freud has challenged you.
He repeated discovered some time ago.
Clement, well listened. You get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of graffiti. There are 33 seconds left, starting now.
In the public convenience at Oban, which is on the west coast of Scotland, there is one of the most entertaining graffito that I have come across. Written upon the wall are the words, "Will the gentleman who got off the bus from Stranraer on the 14th of October, 1983, and whom I met here and took back to meet my wife, please be good enough, should he come past this location on another occasion, to call and see the aforementioned woman, because she has certainly formed a sort of attachment to him." And I thought the whistle would blow by now.
I won't be honest, Clement, we did let it go beyond the 60 seconds because I wasn't sure whether this was the whole of the graffito that you referred to or whether you were making it up. We now suspect you were making some of it up, but you did extraordinarily well. You kept going until the whistle went, which was 11 seconds over time, and you gain a bonus point for speaking as the whistle went, and at the end of that round you are, of course, in the lead, and it is your turn to begin. The subject, peanuts. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
We went some months ago to the Gambia, which is totally self-sufficient on peanuts. It is the only thing in which it has a sufficiency. I should think it was probably the slave trade which brought peanuts from Brazil to that coast of Africa. I've seen Africa before.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Revolution of Africa.
Yes, you did say Africa before, so Derek's got in with 37 seconds on peanuts, starting now.
Well, peanuts are what the British Broadcasting Corporation to choose to pay us for appearing on this program. And we have done this for some 23 years because we greatly enjoy entertaining the public outside.
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation from known English language.
Denoy, yes, or whatever the word was. Right, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have a point. You have 24 seconds on peanuts, starting now.
Peanuts is the name of a cartoon strip created by Charles Schultz, an American...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Well, I suppose that slurring of words could be interpreted as hesitation.
I couldn't remember his name as soon as I started.
I think you did jolly well as you sort of keep going through this until it came out. Peter, you have the subject of peanuts in 17 seconds, starting now.
Well, Paul was quite right. It was invented by this man, Schultz, and he is one of the richest cartoonists in the world. I believe he employs now a lot of other people to do the drawings, and still more to think of the ideas. I've never really been very amused by these pictures that I've seen.
Jones was in speaking as the whistle went, and he got that all-important extra point, so he's now in second place at the end of the round. Clement Freud's still in the lead. Peter, will you take the next round? The subject, indoor sports. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, some of the best indoor sports can be played with great pleasure outside, out of doors. And whenever I am in a secluded place, in a forest or on a beach that has very few people on it, I never forget to take my bat and ball with me, and I play it wherever I am, with whomsoever I might be with.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Well, deviation is talking solely about outdoor sports.
No, I'm talking about indoor sports played outdoors.
I think he did establish.
That's not what we're supposed to talk about.
It doesn't matter. I think he established that these were indoor sports, and he was playing them out of doors, but they were still indoor sports. Peter keeps the subject, having gained a point, with 37 seconds on his indoor sports, starting now.
Ping pong is one of the best indoor sports, in my opinion, sometimes called table tennis by the professionals and people who take it more seriously. And I wonder...
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so. In fact, I'm certain of it. 26 seconds for you, Clement, on indoor sports, starting now.
In the town of Oban, which is on the west coast of Scotland, there is a tremendous lot of indoor sport goes on. And I came across a couple of games of snooker which were being played simultaneously to darts, table tennis, which Peter Jones calls ping pong, although professionals tend to call it the former. On Tuesday, the 14th of April...
Oh, Clement Freud kept going with his indoor sports till the whistle went, gained an extra point and has increased his lead. Paul Merton, will you take the next round? The subject is diet fads. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
There are many kinds of diet fads. People seem to think that if they drink nothing but water, they will lose weight, and they will. They will also die after about 56 days. And then you lose a hell of a lot of weight once you're dead. Your body decomposes completely, and you...
Derek challenged.
Well, he stopped, didn't he, really?
I started to make myself laugh, which is a bad move.
You all make different noises when you come to us all to a sticky end like that. Derek, you've got in on diet fads, and there are 43 seconds left, starting now.
One of the most interesting diet fads I encountered on Oban on the west coast of Scotland. There they eat solely a diet of cockaliki soup, non-stop, for 48 days, and at the end of that, they're violently sick and lose all the weight that they might have put on. I think perhaps a narcissist is drinking lemon juice.
Challenge.
This is just nonsense. This is deviation. People are listening to this. They might be tempted to go out and buy some tins of cockaliki soup and they won't lose weight. They'll just die because they won't get enough protein.
So I give you the benefit of the doubt, Paul, and you have 18 seconds to take over diet fads, starting now.
Another popular diet fad is bran. A lot of people eat this form of roughage because they know it's good for the digestive system, and it's also useful to eat this particular kind of food stuff because it is very good to help you...
Clement Freud got
in. There was an
There was an And you only had 1 second to go. You just too soon. So Clement got in with 1 second on diet fads, starting now. And Paul Burton challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes. So, Paul, you've got half a second on diet fads, starting now.
Bran is...
So Paul Merton, surprisingly, was speaking then when the whistle went. And Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is painters. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
The United Kingdom didn't really produce any good portrait painters until the 18th century. Holbein, Van Dyck, people like that, came from overseas to paint in this country. Then...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Deviation. The United Kingdom did produce paintings, portrait paintings before that, because the caves that they're in during the Stone Age are full
You're
of portraits.
You're pushing your luck on that one, mate.
And in fact, if you go to Oban in Scotland, isn't it? Cubicle 3 from the left, there's a very nice antelope on the door.
Yeah. No, I think the point that Derek is making is justified, so we leave the subject with
him. Are we talking only about British painters?
I don't know until you get the subject, Peter. It just says painters is the subject.
Yes, I
see. Nice to have you with us again, Peter. Derek Nimmo has got it at the moment, and there are 48 seconds to tell us something about painters starting now.
Monet, Manet, Pizarro, Picasso. Those are some of the foreign painters that Peter Jones would like to hear about. There are, however, some of the most wonderful paintings in the world in the Uffizi Gallery in Florence. If you ever witnessed Botticelli's Venus rising from the sea, you will get absolutely agape at the sheer beauty of that which you behold.
Paul Merton's challenge.
Deviation. It's impossible to witness it. You can see the picture, but you can't witness Venus coming out of the sea.
No. You can experience it. Felix. A very clever challenge. You certainly can't witness it. That's what happens when they have to keep going and they use colloquialisms, and therefore that is deviation. Well done, Paul. 21 seconds on painters starting now.
My father was a painter. He painted the back shed in the garden several coats of white. It was...
Pyramid Freud's
chat. Repetition.
What?
Several coats of white.
But it was over the course of 35 years.
Yeah. And he came from Oban, did he? As
he
well?
Did, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Well, what we do is we give Clement Freud a bonus point because we'd all enjoyed the challenge, but Paul Merton wasn't deviating from the actual rules of just a minute. He keeps the subject and gets a point for the interruption. 15 seconds are left on painters starting now.
Around the beginning of the turn of this century, there was a movement in art.
Peter Jones challenge.
When exactly is the beginning of the turn?
The beginning of the turn of the century.
Yes. Right. When did it start to turn?
New Year's Eve, 1900.
Paul, you've still got the subject and 11 seconds, another point, and painters starting now.
A movement that was described...
Derek Nimmo...
Repetition movement.
What's that?
Repetition movement.
So, 9 seconds, you are correct, Derek, and painters is with you starting now.
Jean-Baptiste Tiepolo, Rembrandt, Rubens... and Van Gogh were names that come to my mind when I'm trying to think of painters. Other ones that I would like to mention are...
So, they all had a good go on painters and all gained points in the round. The situation is that Clement Freud is still in the lead. He's just ahead of Paul Merton. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin the subject, Ballyhoo. Would you like to tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
William Shakespeare wrote a play which should have been called Quite a Lot of Ballyhoo Concerning Not Much. But instead, he named it Much Ado About Nothing, and it has been...
A Paul Merton challenged.
Repetition of much?
Yes, much ado, and it has much. Well, listen, Paul, and you've got him with another point. 45 seconds, Ballyhoo starting now.
Ballyhoo, I suppose, is something that is described... Oh, I don't know. I'm not interested in it at all, really.
It's a lot of ballyhoo, isn't it? Right, Clement, you got him with a challenge. I should hear what it was, which is...
Well, almost everything.
I think you've got to select one. Let's see if I agree.
It's deviation from the... way we like to play this game.
I think everybody enjoyed that. Perhaps I shouldn't give it to you on that. No, I think we'll give it to you on the hesitation. All right, Clement, 41 seconds on Ballyhoo starting now.
Ballyhoo was a pretty competent 4-year-old hurdler who won at Liverpool the entry race course in 1981, and I was there. I put some money on him at 100-8 and added more at 10-1. The winnings, I remember well, were called the Ballyhoo fortune in the Freud family, and we went out and had dinners, suppers, breakfasts and luncheons We visited theatres and operas, cinemas and...
Paul Merton Charles.
This is just boasting.
He may be boasting, but it's not one of the rules.
I know.
You could have maybe had him for deviation, but you didn't, so we... Clement Freud has another point, and Ballyhoo, 2 seconds, starting now.
A son of Ballyhoo then ran the two toxic.
So Clement Freud, again speaking as a whistle went, has again increased his lead. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, Ali Baba. Will you tell us something about him?
Well, it could be quite dangerous, I suppose. There are probably lots of people in the Middle East called Ali Baba, and they might have it in for me if I say something that isn't flattering.
Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation. There was an error there. I'm sorry, Peter.
There was, yes.
Yeah, yes, there definitely
yes,
was.
I actually heard it.
I think it's so wonderful when you listen, Peter, because you're always such great value to the show.
Yes.
51 seconds for you, Derek, on Ali Baba, starting now.
Ali Baba was a 4-year-old gelding that I found on a toaster in March this year. Also, of course, one thinks that wonderful story from the Arabian Nights of Ali Baba who followed this robber band back to their cave and overheard them saying, "Open sesame!" And this great boulder thundered and they...
And Paul Merton Challenge.
This is deviation, I might be wrong, but isn't Open Sesame Aladdin?
That's right, yes.
No, it's not. It's Ali Baba, too.
Is it Ali Baba?
Yes, very original.
I've only done Cinderella and Babes in the Wood. And,
but you're always in the frock anyway.
The audience seem to think that you're correct about Open Sesame, so is he right, audience?
Yes.
All right, well, it's on your... Because, you know, this does go all round the world, this show, and there'll be people writing in.
Well,
you know,
it has up to now.
They want to know that our traditional pantomimes are played correctly. Derek, you have 28 seconds on Ali Baba, starting now.
He was entered in July meeting at Goodwood on the Thursday, which is, of course, the most...
Clement Freud, Charlie.
Deviation.
Why?
No horse that runs a toaster over the sticks could be entered in a July meeting in Goodwood.
You can run a toaster
on the flat.
It's not always over the sticks, a toaster.
Yes, always.
22 seconds on Ali Baba, Clement, starting now.
Frankly, I always preferred the 40 Thieves to Ali Baba. I thought they were more gracious, generous.
Derek Nimmo,
hesitation.
Charlie. Yeah, I think there was a hesitation after the graciousness. 15 seconds back with you, Derek, on Ali Baba, starting now.
I played Ali Baba when I was with No. 9 Signal Regiment in Cyprus some years ago. My chief robber, in fact, was Sir Peter Miller, as he now is, chairman of Lloyd's, and I thought that was very suitable that he should get that particular job that he's got now.
Peter Jones has challenged you.
He's not talking about Ali Baba. He's talking about this other geezer who has something to do with a bank.
Yes. Talked about him being suitable, I agree with you, Peter. That was
deviation. Talking about my production of it.
Peter, you've got him with 1 second to go on Ali Baba, starting now.
He was never a horse.
Well, it's a very close contest this week. For those interested in the score, and I know there are always some, Clement Freud is still in the lead, then he's followed by Derek Nimmo, and then Paul Merton, and then Peter Jones, but only about 1 or 2 points separate any of them. Paul Merton, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is boggling. Will you tell us something about boggling in just a minute, starting now?
Boggling was a 4-year-old filly that ran in the 1898 Derby, and unfortunately it didn't do.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Fillies don't run in the Derby.
Clement is correct, and he's got boggling with 55 seconds to go, starting now.
Boggling is a state where your eyes pop out more than other people's, so that you...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, he hesitated as soon as his eyes popped out. And there are 49 seconds for you, Derek, on boggling, starting now.
I was sitting in the laboratory and opened my mind absolutely boggled at what I saw, because there was Sir Clement Freud, who works for the tourist board of that particular city, and mentioned it whenever possible, standing outside, waiting his turn to come in. It was the most boggling sight you can ever imagine. One time I was playing
Paul
in Canberra.
Paul Merton has challenged you.
Deviation. I can think of more boggling things than Clement Freud waiting outside a public lavatory.
Very personal.
I don't know. It sounds mind-boggling to me.
Really?
But 29 seconds, I give you the benefit of the doubt, Derek. Boggling starting now.
It was a game that the old drovers played in the old days when they were coming into...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Repetition of old.
Yes, you had a bit of old in before. So you got it in this time correctly, Paul, and you have 26 seconds to tell us something about boggling starting now.
Boggling was a horse that ran...
Clement Freud Challenge.
Repetition of horse.
You said, use the word horse.
I said
before.
Filly before.
Filly last time
no, you said a filly. Three-year-old filly, Clement. 23 seconds on boggling, starting now.
And my great-grandfather put a rather enormous amount of money on this particular four-legged animal.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of four.
Four-year-old filly and four-legged horse. Oh, bad luck, Paul. So, you can't win in this game. 16 seconds on boggling, Clement, starting now.
The sort of thing that would make me boggle would be if a four-year-old filly ran in the Derby. It is the most astonishing concept that female equine animals run at Epsom, run Tattenham Corner against horses of...
So Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased his lead. We're back with Derek Nimmer to begin. The subject, Derek, is covens.
A coven consists of 13 creatures, 12 witches, and the devil itself. Covens used to meet on certain saint days, particularly, of course, All Hallows Eve, and at Lammermass and Michaelmas. When they gathered together, they...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Lost the will to live. Hesitation.
Hesitation, Paul. Well done. And there are 41 seconds for you to tell us something about covens starting now.
My father made a lot of money on a horse called Covens, which ran in the 1927 Derby. And with that cash, he decided to set up a coven of his own. He invited all the neighbours around, and they had a black satanic mass, including the woman at number 47, and they dressed up totally.
Derek never started.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was an there, and Derek's got another point, and the subject, and 20 seconds on covens starting now.
These evil crones used to have on their broomsticks with them cats, which were called their familiars, because it was believed that they had an extra nipple to feed the beast with. Extraordinary thought. But until 1540...
Oh, Clement, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Clement, you're in with 6 seconds on coven starting now.
A coven is an assembly of witches who sit around a cauldron wondering what...
Again, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went. Again, increased his lead, but he's closely followed by Derek Nimmer, and then 1 point behind Paul Merton, and then two or three behind him is Peter Jones. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, hey presto.
Hey presto is the sort of thing that you might say if you put turnips, carrots, and potatoes into an oven, opened it, and found a chocolate mousse. Witches and magicians use hey presto quite a lot in order to...
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation. I don't think witches use hey presto.
No.
A magician uses it because he's in the business of trying to deceive the public, where witches are trying to summer up the dark forces
Keep
of the universe.
The program.
Yes.
I think you made an extraordinarily good case, and I'm sure the audience is entirely with you, and so am I, so you have 42 seconds.
I was very pleased that it didn't turn out to be another horse.
So, Paul Merton, hey presto, 42 seconds, starting now.
Hey presto is something you might hear from a magician rather than a witch, because a witch is somebody who...
Oh, Derek Nimmo challenge.
Two witches.
Two witches. 35 seconds for you, Derek. No, 36 on hey presto, starting now.
So I ran to the middle of the main street in Canberra and banged my top hat with my magic wand and said, hey presto, and out came a lovely little bunny, White Rabbit. People were so thrilled and pleased because in the Antipodes, they loved magic. And
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, in the first place, I don't believe that it happened. And in the second place, people in Australia would not be thrilled and delighted at the sight of a rabbit.
Just, I'm sure you're absolutely right, Peter. So we give you the subject of Hey Presto, and there are 23 seconds starting now.
I wish I could say Hey Presto and a taxi would arrive outside to take me home. But I must hang on for another hour or so. And then I shall go home and say...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of home.
Yeah, you mentioned your home book.
Oh, yes, I'm a great home lover. I can't help thinking about it all the time.
What worried me was the fact that you're going to hang around here for another hour or so, because the show's going to be over in a few minutes, actually. I've just got a note that this is about the round after this will be the last round.
Oh, really? Mm.
Ah. Kevin Floyd, you have 13 seconds to tell us something about Hey Presto starting now.
There are a very limited number of professions who are entitled to use the expression Hey Presto, and I would like to name some from whom this is withheld. Parsons.
Clement, you were speaking again as the whistle went, and again, not surprisingly, you gained an extra point, and not surprisingly, you've increased your lead, and we're now into the last round, and it's Peter Jones' turn to begin, and the subject, Peter... Oh, you won't believe this. It's hope. So, will you talk on the subject starting now?
Faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity.
Too much charity. Let it begin at home, I think.
You should have changed the quote and made it hope.
What?
You repeated charity.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Yes, I was so carried away by the great
you
the
should
theme
have said,
of it
and
all.
The greatest of these
yes.
should have been hope, and then we went right.
Yes, of course, I should have stopped. I never know when to stop, you see, that's the trouble.
Derek Nimmer had a correct challenge, and he got in first, and so he takes the subject with 55 seconds on hope, starting now.
Faith, hope, and love, as described in the New English Bible, comes from 13th Corinthians, the letter that St. Paul wrote to the people of that fair city. But I would like to talk about the Hope Diamond. Have you ever seen it, ladies and gentlemen? You probably haven't. But I did look at this great stone, the Hope Rock, and was I impressed? 342.5 carats. Is that not enormous? And who discovered it? I ask you. Mr. Jones. Not Peter, alas, but a fellow working in the mines in South Africa who came across by pulling an umbrella into the side of the rock, and there was this nugget...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of rock.
You change. Talked about the diamond...
Yes, all right.
Instead of saying the Hope Diamond, you said the rock, and Clement got in with 9 seconds on hope, starting now.
I'm really...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, well done, Peter. There's always hope, you see, Peter, and you have 9 seconds left. Oh,
it must have been a hell of a hesitation.
Actually, it should be 8 seconds for hope, starting now.
Hope springs eternal in the human breast. And I must say that this applies to me as well as everyone else. We are all brothers.
So Peter Jones, speaking on hope, brought this particular show, or this particular edition of Just a Minute, to an end, and also he gained an extra point at that moment, but he still finished, alas, in fourth place. The man who gained most points for his clever performance in this show was Clement Freud, so we say he is the winner this week. Hope that you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute, and it only remains for me to say, on behalf of our four excellent panellists, Derek Nimmer, Peter Jones, Clement Freud and Paul Merton, and also Anne Ling, who's kept the score, and also Ian Messer, who created the game, and our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you'll all be with us again the next time we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye!